Amen. 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 In the morning, at noontime, in the evening, amen, amen, amen. Let the church say amen. What a wonderful and glorious opportunity that we have here before us to be able to come together at this place at this time in safety and in spirit, to be able to worship our great God in spirit and in truth. If you're visiting our service, we just want you to know you are our honored guests. We are, as we say, here, real people with real problems, but real solutions in Christ. And so we have problems. All of us have problems. And our biggest problem is as a three-letter word that the Bible uses all the time. And God reminds us in his word that we have a problem with S-I-N. It's sin. And the Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. But God has given us an answer to this in the person of Jesus the Christ. And he's come to redeem us, to buy us back, to forgive us of the sins that separate us from God, thereby reconciling us back together with God. And that's the whole purpose of why we come together, of the gospel message. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so we want to realize why we come together. It's because we all have a problem, at least one, at least, and we need God's forgiveness. Now, we know a lot of people got a lot more than one problem. We know a lot of people got more than one problem, and even I have more than one problem. I think. absolutely. We are just appreciative of your presence this morning. Now, we are in the middle of a series. It is just entitled Awareness. And this series was designed to not only to give us awareness in our physical lives, to help us to be more aware of things that's going on, that are happening in our physical lives, but also to be aware spiritually. As a matter of fact, we have a definition of spiritual awareness, and what we are trying to do in this particular series is we want to gain the ability to perceive, to understand, and respond to spiritual realities beyond the physical world. There are things happening around you that we look at it, some are physical, some are involved, just life itself, but they are generated. We are really in a, particularly those who are children of God, understand that we are in a spiritual warfare. And our fight, he tells us, is not against flesh and blood. He says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, really. He says, but against principalities, powers. He says forces of wickedness and high places and things like that. So we have to be spiritually aware, to understand, respond to the spiritual realities beyond the physical world. And we need to develop a heightened sensitivity to God's presence, allowing the believer, which allows the believer to discern the deeper spiritual significance behind events that happen, behind decisions, and behind even your own struggles. Satan wants to take you out completely. As a matter of fact, he don't want you to even hear the gospel. As a matter of fact, he probably got on some of you this morning and said, "Ah, oh, don't get up. Just forget worship today." But you're here. And God has blessed you with grace to be here. And so we want to understand that this is part of what we're trying to achieve in this particular series. Now, I haven't showed this next slide. It's called the Foundations of Awareness, Foundations of Spiritual Awareness, the foundation. What are my lessons coming from? How are they being developed? They're being developed from five different areas, some of which we've talked about the last couple of weeks, some of which we have addressed the last couple of weeks, and we're going to address one of these areas this week, awareness of God's presence is one of the things I want you to understand. The Bible teaches God is presence. Presence is all everywhere. It talks about, what is that word, Brother Assembly? Now, I know it, but I know Brother Assembly likes to say this word, that God is present. He's everywhere, all the time. He's called what? He's what? Uh-huh, that's right. There you go. He got it. You can hear me this morning. That's right. You roll. He's omnipresent. He is present always and everywhere. As a matter of fact, you know, God talks about not only creating us and how and for us to see his presence, but God tells us that trees understand God's presence. Insects understand God's presence. Animals understand God's presence. Yeah, the Bible teaches that. That's another lesson. Awareness of spiritual realities. Aware of spiritual realities. And this is a great one. You can look at 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 17 when you have a chance. But this one really goes into what we were talking about in the introduction. Understand that God's is aware and he understands what you're going through and struggle. And he sometimes allows us just to be able to go through whatever so that we can see God in the process. And in this particular case, God's people were at war, and the enemy had God's people surrounded on every hill. The enemy was surrounded, surrounding God's people. And one of God's servants, Elisha, was not even worried. He said, I'm not even worried about this. And another person said, why aren't you worried? You can see they're surrounding us everywhere. In 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 17, Brother Bland, what did he say?
And Elisha prayed. And said, Lord, I pray.
Said, Lord, what?
I pray.
What?
Open his eyes that he may see.
Open your eyes. Open his eyes. Open his eyes, please, Lord, so that he could see. And that's why we come together. That's why we preach. That's why we encourage. That's why we ask God to help us to understand what his will is. What did he say, Brother Bland?
Then
Lord, what?
Opened
the Lord
the
opened
man.
The eyes of the young man. And what?
He saw.
And what happened, Brother Bland?
And behold, the mountain
and
was
behold, the mountain
was full of horses.
Full of horses.
And chariots of fire.
And chariots of
all
fire.
All around Elisha.
All around Elisha. And there were many more of God's people, of God's army, than of the enemies. And that's true for you. If you allow God in your life, if you allow God to help you to see that God is there, call on him. He says, if happily, in Acts the 17th, I believe Acts the 17th chapter, in verse 27, he says, if you just can call on and feel after him, for he says he's not far away from every one of you. And then the other foundation that we have, we go back to the foundation slide, awareness of the enemy's schemes. Enemy has a lot of schemes. We talked about that. He told Jesus told Peter, he says, Peter, listen, in Luke 22, he says, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He said he desires to sift you. And you know, many of us today, we don't know what a sifter is. If you're from down the country, you probably know. Those of y'all, you know, but a sifter sift you out like wheat. That's another one. And then awareness of God's timing and movement. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to hit a little bit about that on this morning of God's timing, because sometimes we just so impatient. And we just want what we want now. We are in a now society. We want to get what we want, and we want it now. And sometimes God wants you to stand still and see the glory of God. He wants you to stand still. Well, we don't get that, but we're going to talk about it. And then last is aware of personal spiritual conditions. And we're going to talk about that. That's our core scripture today. Aware of personal spiritual conditions. And this is kind of you got to stay with me in order to get it, but when you get it, you got it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 5. But I'm going to start with verse number 4, really, because Paul was really trying to get the Corinthians to grasp this principle, because they needed to. And I say we need to today. We don't really get it when God says something. We don't get it. And what I'm going to try to do is help you see that you don't get it, that we don't get it, and then try to get it. Okay. In verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, what does the Bible say, Brother Bland? Verse number 4.
Though he was crucified,
it says, though Christ was crucified
in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God.
Don't run over that. He was crucified at the hands of mankind. God of the universe was crucified at the hands of mankind. God, who is manifested in Jesus Christ, was crucified at the hands of mankind. And so the Bible says, though he was crucified in weakness, yet
He lives. By the power of God.
By the power of God. Read.
For we also are weak.
He says, for we are also weak.
In him.
You know, we are weak sometimes. Most times. A lot of times. We are just weak. We are weak sometimes. Sometimes we are pitifully weak. Sometimes we're just weak. And I want you to get how we are just weak. But I want you to know that in Christ, he doesn't want you to stay weak. He says, we are also weak in him, but what?
We shall live with
but
him.
But we shall live with him.
By the power of God.
By the power of God
toward you.
Now that's he says that. But the verse I'm going to focus on is this next verse. He says,
"Examine yourselves."
So listen. You just heard what he said. He says you're weak. He said Christ was weak, but he lives by power. You're weak, but you can live through power. And now he says, "I need you to
examine yourselves."
What else did he say, Brother Bland?
As to whether you are in the faith.
He says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Then what did he say?
Test yourselves.
He said, test yourselves.
Do you not know yourselves?
Now, testing yourselves. Testing yourselves helps you to not only identify, but to build spiritual muscle and to create discipline. That's what you do. Some of us forget about how we used to test ourselves with the ABCs. How long did it take you to learn the ABCs? Some of us knew it when they were like I'm telling you, 6 months, 8 months. You know it. Even if you didn't know the letter, you could do the rhyme. S-G-H-I-K-L-L-P. You knew the rhyme. But when you test yourselves over and over again, it builds muscle, memory. It builds and it helps you to become stronger. He says, I need you to test yourselves.
Do you not know yourselves?
This is the key that we're going to work at today. This is the key. He says, do you not know yourselves? Unless what? You are indeed disqualified. Disqualified. Now, it's a lot in that verse, and because the first part of it, examine yourselves as whether you're in the faith. I could talk all day about that, but I'm not going to go there today. Test yourselves, he says over again. Do you not know yourselves? Is what I want to deal with today. Do you not know yourselves? Do you not know yourselves? Now, there's some background to this. There's some background to my lesson for this morning is going to be, how you treat yourself. Yeah, how you treat yourself. How you treat yourself. First of all, in science, they say, the research says that how do you treat your spouse, or how you treat coworkers, how you treat your neighbors, how do you treat, who else can we say? Children, family, everything. I want you to think in your mind one word that describes how you treat yourself. Because we don't think about that a lot. But the science says that we treat ourselves much in the same manner as we treat other people. But we won't say that. So sometimes, you know, some of us are very, we got problems. We all got problems. How have you been treating others? One word to describe. Anybody want to say how they treat others? Anybody want to give me one word of how they treat others? Any that describe how they treat others? Respectfully. That's a good one. Compassionately. Is that true? Okay, who else? Who else want to get in this party? Huh? What we're going to do today is really show how you treat yourself. Because let's not worry about others now. Let's talk about self. And I'm going to try to prove our proposition, first of all, in our text, what it says. A point of awareness is how do you know and treat yourself? When you become aware, what we're trying to do you will understand how you treat yourself. Some of us don't treat ourselves very good in all circumstances. So he says, examine yourself. So let's do an examination. And these are some of the questions that you can ask yourself. And you're probably going to think about it on a physical basis, but what we're going to do is we're going to also relate it spiritually as we go forward. Do you nourish and nurture yourself? How much time and attention and energy do you give to your physical body and to your spiritual body? When you talk to yourself, how do you talk to yourself? Do you yell sometimes? Do you scream at yourself? Do you talk to yourself with frustration? When you question yourself, do you accuse and blame yourself and others? Do you allow yourself to even complete a full thought before you are on to something else or before you cut yourself off? Do you give yourself permission to learn and ask what you need to know? Do you have permission to change yourself if needed? Do you keep commitments that you make to yourself? Do you cut yourself any slack? And are you willing to humble yourself? What would people say? What would those around you say and describe as how you treat them? So, you know, what would others say? Maybe today we will become more aware of what God is trying to do and how our reactions of self affect not only our physical lives in relationships, but affect our spiritual lives. Are you angry? Do you have a lot of resentment? Do you have a lot of built-up frustration? Are you mad? We live in an environment today that is fostering all of these type of feelings, and it's getting worse. And you can almost, if you're in tune, you can almost feel the potential explosion. I'm telling you. Satan is using the environment and every situation to really cause an explosion in our reality, in our lives, in this physical life. Social. But he's also, the goal is to destroy you spiritually. And we need to, every once in a while, take and stop and reset. Because it is building. And we feel it. But what I want you to see is that this is no new tactic. And this is no new tactic. And God, it always puts in things that try to help us to understand what what we can do and how we can guard against this. Like in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 4 through 8. For one thing, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4 through 8. What did he tell the Christians in Philippi? He said what, Brother Bland? Read.
Rejoice in the
he
Lord
said,
always.
He said, rejoice. Listen, rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I
he
will
says,
say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again,
I will say.
I say what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be
known. Now, already some people are saying, well, how in the world can you do that? That's impractical. No. God wouldn't say it if it was impractical, if it wasn't possible. It may be impractical to us because of the environment and the social and what we are faced with. We may think it is impractical, but God can give you peace that surpass your understanding, all understanding, he says. So what else did he say, Brother Bland, since we're on that topic?
Verse 5,
read.
Let your gentleness be
he
known
says,
to all men.
Let your gentleness
be known to all men.
Be known to all men.
The Lord is at hand.
He says what?
The Lord is at hand.
The Lord is at hand. God is at hand. It may not even, he says, this is not your battle per se. I know you're going through it, but I want you to have a disposition, to have a control about yourself where your gentleness is there. That doesn't mean you don't address the problem. See, this is where we get confused. God is not saying don't address the issue, but he's telling you that the child of God has a certain quality that God can give you. It's one of, in another lesson, the fruit of the Spirit, he says. And that's in Galatians chapter 5. But that's another lesson. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. He says, what else, Brother Bland? Are you reading the next verse?
Verse 6.
What did he say? Read.
Be anxious for nothing.
He says, listen, I don't need you to be anxious, to be worried, to harry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing, y'all. Now, we're still doing this examination. We're in this and we are testing ourselves. And if God says, are we anxious for nothing? But what, Brother Bland? Read.
But in everything.
He says, but in everything, read.
By prayer and supplication.
By prayer and supplication,
with
what?
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Let your request be made known to God.
He says, when you make the request, he says, I want you to have an attitude of what? Thanksgiving, even when you make the request in duress. Duress. You see, what I'm saying is he's telling you, do you really know yourselves? And when God says that, and when he's talking about, yeah, you may know yourself, but you really don't know what you are capable of in Christ. What God is capable of doing through you, in you, with you. What else did he say, Brother Bland? Are we finished?
Verse 4 through 8?
What else? What did he say?
Verse 7. The peace of God.
He says in verse 7, and the peace of God. You see this? And the peace of God,
which surpasses
all understanding,
will guard your heart
and mind
through Christ Jesus.
Through Christ Jesus. And then verse number 8. Look, this is the
you, finally.
This, you got to put this is really it. Look, he says, look, finally. He says, finally, what?
Brethren.
What?
Whatever things are true.
He says, this is what you do. He says, this is what I want you to focus on.
Whatever things are true.
What else?
Whatever things are noble.
What else?
Whatever things are just.
Read.
Whatever things are pure.
Read.
Whatever things are lovely.
Read.
Whatever things are of good report.
Read.
If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy,
what?
Meditate on these things.
See. Now, see. Sometimes we don't want to do that. We want to reject that. We want to reject that. So what this lesson is then is being aware of yourself. Being aware of your the small things, the idiosyncrasies that you have. Being aware of them. Because they affect your Christian life. So let me give you an example. In Acts, the second chapter, verse number 40. And this is one way how we do this. In Acts, the second chapter, verse number 40. This is... And Acts, the second chapter, is a narrative of the first gospel sermon. And in the first gospel sermon, Peter preached on this festival day. This festival day was called the Day of Pentecost. But at the close of that, once you start reading about verse 36 down, we see that and you close, and he tells them that they need to, in verse 38, what did he say? Let everyone.
Then Peter said to them,
yes.
Repent and let every one
he
of you.
He says, repent. He tells them, repent. And for those of us who know, repentance is, or who don't know, a change of mind. He says, it's a change of mind. Now you're coming to God. You need to have and be. You remember I said, do you permit yourself to learn, particularly from God, and change? He says, repent or change, every one of you, and then what? Be baptized for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But verse number 40, what did he say again?
And with many other words.
He testified.
And exhorted them,
saying.
Be saved from this perverse generation.
This untoward generation. He's telling them, you need to be saved from this untoward generation. Now, this is what we do. A lot of us. You've got the prescription of what you need to do. But what happens is that we are at times incapable of doing it. Because of our own selves. Oh, no, you don't get it. See, when God tells you to be saved from this perverse generation, some of us already know that that is a process. That means I've got to focus my mind. I got to understand what I'm being saved for. I got to obey the gospel. I got to hear it. I got to believe it. I got to do this. I got to do that in order to get that in. I cannot just jump up and say, I'm saved. But in this society, that's what people do. I say, well, I'm saved. Well, how are you saved? By what method? By what manner? Who said it? What's in God's word? What were you saved? And we are going through this phase in our society where we think we can just say anything and we get it. It's coming, it's flowing down from the top office. But you think you can say anything and it's right because I said it. And that's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's not spiritual. When he says be saved, that means you got to roll up your sleeves. And you got to know what you're being saved for and from and where you are, where the saved are. And you got to obey the gospel of Christ. But if we don't know that, then that may be difficult. You see, just like for instance, I can come to you and I can say, I like running, I like jogging. So every one of you who runs 5 miles, I'm gonna give $1,000. Now, y'all understand that? Yeah, you understand that? You know what that means. You're not, and most of you, now if you can, that's beautiful. I'll give you this recruit up. But most of you, you're going to say, okay, you're going to think about the thousand and say, all right, what do I need to do? What do I need to do in order to run 5 miles? And see, spiritually though, we don't believe that. But the God's word is consistent. It's consistent in telling us that we need to do something to have the salvation that God wants us to have. We got to understand it. For instance, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Another one, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren,
therefore, brethren,
by the mercies of God,
that you present your bodies
a living sacrifice,
holy,
acceptable to God,
which is your reasonable servant.
Then it says what?
Conformed to this world.
He says, do not be conformed to this world,
but be transformed
by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove
what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now y'all getting it? Yeah. I cannot be conformed to this world, but I got to be transformed. I got to be transformed. And that in and of itself tells us that I have to do something. There's a process that I have to engage in. And when you understand there's a process that you have to engage in, and you engage in it the way God says to engage in it, then you get the benefit and the blessing. This is all through Scripture. But when we don't do this, when we don't go through the process, is when we have problems. And we can see that in certain situations and certain people. One person in Judges. Judges, I think I have 6th chapter of Judges there. 6th chapter, right? Did I have Judges? 16, okay. No, it's 16. I see. Let me put my glasses on. Judges 16. Do y'all remember Samson? Now, Samson had a gift. Now, I don't have to go through the whole story. It is hot. But he had a gift. And what was his gift, y'all? Physical strength. Physical strength. Where did his gift come from? Oh, I just wanted to make sure that you understood that. His gift came from God. His gift came from God. And his gift of physical strength was based, the foundation of that gift was based in spiritual obedience to God. Even though it was physical strength, it was still based in spiritual foundation. And I want you to understand your gifts, your talents, your life is based in a spiritual foundation with God. God wants all men to be saved. He wants you. He says that he doesn't want any to perish in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. But that everyone should come to repentance, come to understand who God is. In Hebrews 11 and 6, he says, without this faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he not only exists, but that he is a rewarder to them that diligently, what? Seek him. Do you know yourself? And what God is saying is that you've got to come to a decision that's more than just surface. Can't just say, I'm saved, or I just know God, or I believe in God. God wants you to apply that. He wants you now to take the time to settle down in order to come to God. Now, Samson knew this, and he kept playing with his blessing. He kept playing with Delilah, and she would ask him, "Hey, oh, Samson, where's your strength come from?" And he would tell her, "Well, it comes from so-and-so." And then she would go up there and then try to manipulate some type of strategy to take that from him, this whatever it was. And then she would tie him up. And then what would happen? When he wake up, he'd take those ropes, break them out. Say, "Yeah, that's not my strength. Ha, ha, ha." That's what we do. Know yourselves. And he kept doing this repeatedly. But see, what Satan does, and this is the process. He gradually moves you away. Some of us, even right here today, know a point in time where we were moved so far away from God, we had to run to get back. He gradually moved you away. And verse number, 16 and 20? 16 and 20. Mm-hmm. God had had enough. Mm-hmm. God had had enough. And he said, "Okay, since you continue to play with it, and because you continue to do your thing and despise what I've given you." What did he say? Read, Brother Brian. Then the Philistines.
And she said, so he
fell asleep. He fell asleep again. She tied him up this time. And this time she thinks she had got the right one. What did she do to him? Do y'all remember? Shaved his head, right? Mm-hmm. Shaved his head. Go on. What did he say?
The Philistines are upon you.
He said, "The Philistines are upon you."
So he awoke from his sleep.
So here we go. He what?
He awoke from his sleep.
He said, "What is he going to do now?" He's going to do what? The same thing he used to do to get himself out of trouble, but this time. And I'm going to tell you, it's coming. One day you're not going to be able to use that same old line. You're not going to use that same old line. You can't use the same because God has had enough. And then what did he say? Read. What did the Bible say?
"I will go out as before at other times."
Come on,
read. "Shake myself free."
Uh-huh.
"But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him."
This is so important. the Lord had departed. He was doomed. The Lord had departed. And he's not the only one that happened, that this happened to. Now, in the after service, we're going to go over a couple of things. I have an after service discussion. So if you want to stay for half an hour, we got a lot more where this come from. We have this discussions, some of the things that we could talk about. What is the effect of our thoughts on health? What does fear, stress, trauma, depression do to us? Got stories about that. Words. How words, your words destroy you. The negative words. Negative words destroy you. The thoughts that are negative destroy you. What the tongue can do as well. And then getting back your Christian juju. Now, juju is, you know, I had mojo first with juju, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Your swagger. Getting back to where you are strong. But right now, we could close because it's time. We need to close. Do you believe God? God says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants you to test yourself to find out whether you are even in the faith. At our after service worship, you can ask that question. You can ask, say, what do you mean by in the faith? I have faith, but having faith is not in the faith. You can have faith, but it's not in the faith. Are you saved? Are you saved? Meaning, what did you do to be saved? Well, I thought God saves everybody. He's willing to save everybody. You're absolutely right, but you have to do something. And if you don't know what you've done, it's not just saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's part of it. But it's more to it than that. In the Bible, initially, for them to be saved, they had to hear the word of truth. They had to hear the gospel. They had to believe it. They had to repent, change of mind that leads to a change in your direction. You can't get your life together first and then come to God. You may never get your life together. As a matter of fact, you can't get your life together without God. And then you have to confess Jesus as Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, beautiful today, Emily has decided to obey the gospel of Christ. She's a young lady who's been coming for a while. And I am so proud and happy. She came up to me this afternoon and said, listen, I'm going to obey the gospel. And I'm going to have some friends here to watch me do it. Yeah, you can't start any better than that. You can't start any better than that. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to ask her to come up front right now. I'm going to take her confession. I'm going to ask Sister Brown to come up and get the baptismals ready. All right, baptismal ready. Clothes ready. You ready, Emily? Okay, come on up. Give her a hand. And if you look in Acts chapter number 2, this is the process that's in Scripture. This is the process that's in Scripture. You can also look in Acts the 16th chapter, Acts the 8th chapter. It has this process. But when people hear the gospel of Christ and it resonates with them, and that's what they want to do, they want to come to God, that's how God accepts them. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's the confession that everyone must make. It brought death to our Lord and Savior, but it's going to mean life eternal to you when you complete your obedience in baptism and then faithfully live the Christian life. We're going to take you in the back right now, and we're going to give you that. Sister Brown will take you right there. Okay. Amen. Amen. Give her a hand. All right. So we're going to get her ready. Now, is there anyone else? Because now is the time. You see, when we stand and sing the hymn of invitation, that's the invitation for you to come. That's the invitation for you to come to God. Not to me, not to anybody else, but to God. You come into God. If there's someone else, the Bible tells you, don't wait. He says, don't wait. He says, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. When you understand the best way that you can prove to God is when you understand that you stand a guilty distance away from God, that you take care of that business right away. Because the whole thing can depart from you. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that without doubt. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse number 12, he says, when you hear the word, he says, the very next thing after you hear is that the devil comes and takes away the word out of your heart unless you believe. That's Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse number 11. You just read it. Unless you believe. And that's why we come every week, because we need to come every week, because we need to get ourselves back on track, back to right with God. That's why you're here, for encouragement. And you need to hear that word every week, because you know how we are. You know yourself. Do you know yourself? Why don't you come right now, come on forward as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.
Let's sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is a name.